calling, y'all?
Hey,
man, I know I am in the right place, man. A room full of people who used to smoke crack and shoot dope at 2 o'clock in the morning. We ain't doing none of that. I know I'm in the right place. And, you know, if I get a little loopy, please feel free to pull me back in. I am dead tired tonight, man. You know, and the young lady asked me to speak, and I was like, you know what? I was taught from day one, if you was asked to share your experience, strength, and hope, no was not an option. You know what I mean? So she was talking about went at the end of the road, man, and let me just say, man, you know, I am so glad I didn't take a hit today. I am so glad. You know, because when I found that end, when they told me don't just recover, but be enthusiastic about being in recovery, I started coming to meetings and telling y'all I'm glad I didn't take a hit today. Because my disease is ongoing, and as long as I don't take a hit, I can do something about it. With the help of y'all, God of my understanding, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of step work. Don't take a lot. Don't take a lot. Just a little bit, man. But so much comes out, I can't stop. You know? It's just like the crack. I just flipped it around. You know, and I love identifying, man. You know, I'm glad he said the thing about the mirror, because I was taught somewhere along the way, long before I came to understand that everyone that God allowed me to make eye contact with in this lifetime, some part of their spirit is a reflection of my spirit. We don't cross paths or wind up in the same atmosphere for no reason at all. You know what I mean? And that's where I begin, man. Like, if I'm sitting here with you, there is something beyond the fact that I'm an addict that we are more alike than different. You know what I mean? But it wasn't always that way. I'm going to tell y'all how I got to that point. You know, I just want to say I did, you know, I got down here without a speeding ticket, and that's a miracle. You know what I mean? Because I had to find out the expensive way to follow the rules. And, you know, I had just an absolutely incredibly terrible day, man. It was just frustrating. But when we talk about that thing in the mirror, man, it's like, you know, right before I leave out in the morning, you know, I'm in the bathroom, I see myself in the mirror. Right before I came down the road, you know, I got a chance to see myself in the mirror. And I always practice saying this every time I'm in front of the mirror. Colin, you're in front of the biggest problem you're going to have all day today. Right there. It's the biggest problem you're going to have. There's nothing you're going to face today bigger than what you're looking at right now. But I forget. My disease allows me to forget shit. You know, so let me tell you, man, it's through the step work, I can tell you that, I'm sorry, let me do this. I'm all over the place, man, because I got so much life today, and I just want to get busy with the business of living. You know, but I just recently got in touch with the fact that, like, the road that I'm on was started long before I was conceived. You know what I mean? Like, people went through things to help people get through things to help me get through the things I'm going through. Like, I'm really starting to get in touch with that. And I'll tell y'all why I got in touch with it, man, is because, you know, recently I had an opportunity to talk with somebody in a meeting about, you know, being a parent and those things that happen when, you know, we find out the child isn't ours and shit like that, but the kid already knows this is our father. And I was explaining to the guy that, you know, through my step work, I realized that the decisions that my great-great-grandfather made helped make my grandfather, who helped make my father, who molded and influenced me, and I became the person I am. And when I got a chance to see that, like, the greater picture was so more expansive than anything I could conceive, I got real humble. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, there are things going on that are directly affecting me that I ain't got a clue about, you know? So, I was in the Persian Gulf War, came back home, didn't have a clue about the disease of addiction or anything called post-traumatic stress disorder. And those two got a whole lot of similar symptoms. And mine began really starting to show itself in my self-righteousness and my arrogance, because I was able to hold down a job in a law firm's mailroom. But I was better than y'all because I could get a free cab ride at home at night. Because I could tell you that I worked at a place that had a bunch of letters and names and fancy sounding shit. You know, I was better than, you know. And the way I rewarded myself by being better than was by becoming a happy hour bum. You know what I mean? Every Friday, it wasn't no secret where I was going to be. I had worked hard, now I was going to play hard. You know what I mean? And I didn't understand that the disease was slowly wrapping me in its grip when I was no longer able to afford the amount of alcohol I could drink at happy hour. I had to start running tabs that ran over to the next week, and running a tab that ran over to the next week. And then I couldn't even wait for the following week. I would slip down there on Wednesday and start a tab on a tab. Golly. But that was perfectly normal to me when that was going on. That was perfectly normal. You know? And then eventually that wasn't even enough. I remember having a bottle in my desk drawer. You know what I mean? To sip on during the day. Never dawned on me that if I needed alcohol to just cope with day-to-day living, something was wrong. This was normal behavior for me. And in the middle of all of that, I had heard everybody talking about these relationships, man. You know, somewhere along the line, I realized that I wasn't very good at having a relationship that lasted longer than a night. But I had no clue about what the fuck honesty was, so my one-night stands lasted a couple of months because no one had the courage to tell the truth. And they always ended disastrously. I always wound up with another enemy, not another friend. You know what I mean? I was the bastard. She was the bitch. You know what I mean? And I went back to happy hour, and after a couple of drinks, forgot about it, and I proceeded to recreate the same relationship with the same woman, but with a different face. Years later, I can tell y'all, man, it was different women. The only thing that didn't change was me. You know what I mean? I continued to create the same relationship because it started and ended with this dude right here. And I hurt a whole lot of people along the way. You know? But, you know, beyond that, what happened was, you know, living in my grandeur and my glory, I ran across this woman one day, and it was something unique about her, something different, something I just couldn't put my finger on. Heard that man talking about when the rabbit got the gun, boy. I fell for this one. I was all in, and the red flags were showing up everywhere, and I refused to look at them. Cussed out my mom. I was living at home. I ain't had no place of my own. Homeless, vehicleless. Just had that real good job with all those letters and names and shit that could sound good when I was sitting at the bar. You know, perpetrating. Very, very good at hiding behind someone else's life. And cussed out my parents, moved out, moved in with her. And was, you know, totally happy living this incredibly normal lifestyle. Of constantly being drunk and high on something. And I realized a few months before she verbally admitted that she was gay. And I was simply her cover. So when that finally came to a head, Mr. Man's ego couldn't handle that shit. It wasn't the fact that I was losing a relationship or that I had been deceived or any of that shit. Like I told y'all, the red flags were there. I refused to look at them. My ego, my overly masculine ego, could not handle the fact that a woman wanted a woman more than she wanted me. Couldn't deal with it. She left me with a little present called hepatitis B. So I'm in emotional turmoil. I'm physically sick. Sick as a dog, couldn't hold no food now. I'm gray. I'm going to the doctors. We don't know what the hell is going on. I didn't know what the hell I had. All I know is that a whole lot of rage that I had suppressed for a long time had to come to the surface because they told me that Hep B affected your liver. And Colin, you can't drink no more. I ain't had my medicine. So the rage came out, man. And I went to murder this girl. I was there. Had on the painter's outfit. It was a rainy night. I had a Smith & Wesson 45, lighter fluid, wooden matches. And I was walking into the apartment building with this perfect plan to murder her, burn the place to the fucking ground, and get away with it. But it was an 8-story building, and we were on the 7th floor, and on the 8th floor, there were these twin boys that I used to run into every morning. They were like about 5 years old. And something had happened, and their daddy wasn't there no more. And they kind of bonded. Like, they would see me every morning getting ready to get on the bus or whatever. And the mother used to always talk about, like, ever since their daddy left, you're the only dude they talk to. And I kind of liked those guys. And as I was walking in the door, something said, Colin, what if you set this building on fire and them boys don't get out? We know what that voice was, but I didn't know then. I felt like I had punked out. My disease said, you bitch-ass motherfucker, you didn't have the guts to do this. We got to find something to medicate all these feelings you got. Well, I told y'all I'd been a Gulf War veteran. Well, after coming back from that, I was introduced to crack. And I deceived myself into believing that I didn't have a problem because I remembered I loved the cocaine high, but it got to a point where I realized I couldn't afford it. So I said, let me back up off of this thing. They always said, I only got a problem if I get to the point where I can't afford it. So we're talking like a good 8 or 9 year span. You know what I mean? Where all I did was just drink. But now I ain't had to drink no more. My liver couldn't take it. And I had this bright idea one day. Remember back when you used to smoke coke? Let's see if we can do that again. So that relationship was the catalyst that brought me here, because without that, I don't believe I would have ever gotten to the point where I thought I needed some help. It only took about 4 years after that bright idea that I could smoke some coke that I wound up in a place Branch Avenue Motel, for those around the D.C. area. I don't know what it is, because I went by there years later and it's been rented. It's something different now. I don't know. I don't even be in that area no more. But back then, that was Crack Central. Okay? And I know from the laughter, some of y'all was in those rooms. And you know how the sinks were in the bathrooms. I got to a point where I knew I had totally fucked whatever hope there was for this life. And I had a symbiotic relationship with the guys that shot dope, because I didn't like heroin. So I could run to Baltimore and get the heroin and come back and trade it with those dudes, because they could go where they went and get coke. And in the end, we were just trading drugs. We never made any fucking money. And I had finally stolen enough of their dope, because I had heard enough times that if you shoot too much, you'll go out and you won't come back. And I had took a 10-pack and did my best to get it into the needle. I don't know what I really did, but I had enough in there, I thought, to kill a horse. And I was going to shoot it, and it was over. You know what I mean? Up here, it was over. That was it. And my boy was giving me this strange look. I don't know. Maybe some people can see death when it's coming. You know? And I could see they were scared. And this girl was like, I don't know what the fuck is on Colin's mind. We can get him the fuck up out of here. And you could see people panicking, because I think death was riding on my shoulders. And I said, let me borrow your phone. And I remember crawling up under one of those sinks. and calling the girlfriend I had at the time and being so paralyzed with guilt, shame, embarrassment, and fear that when the call went through, I just... And nothing came out. It's the first time in my life I ever felt something that froze me to the point where I couldn't talk. And she knew it was me, and she said, "Hey, man, just tell me where you are." I hung the phone up, and when I walked back out, he pulled out his gun, and he said, "Dude, let me explain something to you. This is the only family I got," and he held up his bag of crack, and he said, "This is the only paycheck I'm ever going to have. But, motherfucker, you got a difference. You choosing this over another life?" He said, "I tell you what, you got 10 seconds to go home." He was that dude I used to ride with that I knew he would squeeze the trigger. I knew it. And at that moment in time, I realized that I really wanted to live more than I wanted to die. I was ready to take my own life in my hands, but I was afraid the moment someone else's hand could take my life. You know? And I went home and I looked like, and there was no more denying what I was. And I had tried a couple years earlier to do something. And I was too afraid to make the phone call. And my father met me at the door and he said, "Hey, you know, if you want some help, we'll help you. But if you hear the bullshit, let's turn the fuck around and go where you're going." I said, "I'm only here because I want some help." You know what I mean? And that was what I thought was the end of my road. You know what I mean? So I show up in treatment, gung-ho, to just stop fucking hurting. I know nothing about no new way of life. I know nothing about no recovery, no Narcotics Anonymous, no nothing. I didn't know what to expect. All I know is I showed up at the VA in Martinsburg after a long, long battle because the DC VA system didn't even want to admit that they had inpatient treatment elsewhere because their federal tax dollars wouldn't come to them. It was only because a friend of my father's was a addictions counselor that we found out about that. Because I knew when I went to my dad for help that I was not going to stay clean going to somebody's fucking class a day and having to come through all the drug neighborhoods to get back home at night. I knew it wasn't going to happen for me. I had to get the fuck away. You know, I believed in the geographical change until I got here and y'all told me that I wasn't enough. Spent almost a year in that hospital. Came out just as gung-ho as ever. But I had done something while I was in that hospital. I had continued to claim unemployment. And the checks kept going to my parents' house. So that when I got out of treatment and got into a recovery house, there was a couple of grand, a government check sitting at my parents' house. So I said, "I'm going to go visit my parents this weekend." I saw them for about 5 minutes on Friday. Okay? Hit the liquor store. Sunday night, Bladensburg Motel, for those of y'all that know the area. There's a gas station right next to it. I'm in one of the abandoned cars at the gas station hiding because I'm waiting for the drug dealer to bring my fucking truck back. Came back to Martinsburg and fronted and perpetrated that I had celebrated a year clean. And kept going. But, you know, it didn't end there. The story went on and on and on. And what would happen would be, you know, I would get clean and not do nothing and relapse and feel the pain and then come back and go, "Okay, it's time to do a little bit of work and get a little bit of results and go back out. And come back and do some more." And we kind of went through that cycle, man. I got to tell y'all that, like, something that began to change me, I heard a guy share at a meeting one time, "Nothing more painful than knowing that this program exists and being out there knowing you don't belong there, but you can't find your fucking way back. You want to know hell? Be using and want to be here, but can't get here no more. Do not take for granted that your ass is here by luck. Go through a whole lot of stuff, man, but let me tell you where it finally ended, man. I'm talking about with some clean time, steps in my life, spiritual principles at play, practicing the best I can. And I walked out of a room with probably over 100 years of recovery. I mean, we were having a good time. I wasn't even thinking about using. And somewhere between when I left there and 5 miles down the road, the thought hit me. Let's go use. The recovery thought said, all you really got to do is hit them on the phone as you're U-turning. You know what I mean? They all still sitting in the living room. All of them been around. My disease would not let me. I had money, means, and motivation, man, and I got to live out a dream that I thought I could live out, which was to get an incredible amount of crack. And when I say incredible, I mean an incredible amount. Yes. The way that that ended a couple of days later, I took a hit, right, in the middle of letting myself down one more again, letting my family down once again, my friends, the betrayal, the trust, all those things I had fucking built up by being here, man. I knew they were gone the moment I bought the bag. Fuck smoking it. Because, see, I'm the type of person, I understand that once I've made the decision to use, there is no going back. That is just the addict that I am. You know, my sponsor shared with me, you always got to do something before you make the decision to use, not after. But let me tell y'all, in the middle of my glorious getting high, nothing matters, I took a hit. And I was smoking this shit, and it was something going on that hadn't happened in years. And you know how your ears would start ringing, and freight trains and shit, and your hands start fucking gnarling up as you have them seizures and shit? I took a hit, and the freight train kept going, and my hearing went out. And I was standing there, and my legs started shaking, and I fell out. And I could feel myself going. And the only thing I could remember was y'all saying, if you hadn't put it in you, you wouldn't be here. And I was so afraid, because I remember saying, oh no, I never thought it would end this way. That moment was my end. I went to sleep for the first time in my life with shit still on the table. You understand that using stopped that moment. I was so afraid that the next hit would give me that freight train that wouldn't stop going and I would never be there. I don't know if any of y'all can relate to having something in you and wanting it to be out. But knowing there was no amount of exhaling that was going to get that shit out of me, man. You know, so what I'm trying to tell y'all is that, man, like, the road to recovery for me, man, was just like in stages. You know what I mean? I had to get a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and eventually it all made sense when I had to face death knowing that there was a better way of life. You know, so today, that thought stays with me, man. The only thing I can say is that I was told when I got here that if I couldn't remember my last hit, I probably hadn't had it. Check this out. I'm here to tell y'all that the people that said that told the truth. Because every time I used prior to that, I had forgotten my last hit. I ain't forgot that one. I hope y'all get that today. I ain't gonna ever forget that shit. You know what I mean? So, I respect the power of my disease enough today to let y'all know that, hey, I tell on it every chance I get. the thought crossed my mind coming down here. I don't even know where to go get the shit. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I can find it anywhere. But I'm coming over the bridge, right? And my disease say, hey, check this out. No wife, no house phone. You know what I mean? You thought you was going to be safe just because you was in a convention. Let's turn left before we get down there. I said, you's a lying motherfucker today. Straight up. I tell my disease, you're a liar every time it tells me something that I think sounds good. My bright ideas don't always come about using. My bright ideas come with my character defects. I'm right, you're wrong, I have to prove that I'm right. You know what I mean? Not telling on my disease. You know what I mean? Let me sit up here and tell my story and shine, and I tell you the disease was fucking with me on the way down here. You know what I mean? But the cell phone bill is paid, and my sponsor got a call before I got here. You know what I mean? And now I'm here telling y'all. You know what I mean? So with God's grace and his mercy, man, just one more day, I'll make it through this thing clean. Thanks for letting me share.